Well, there's all sorts of things we'd like to do, but we have a rather limited program this particular Congress. But how would you like to hear about Engram running?
Yeah.
All right, in the next hour, I will give you an ACC, okay? And then you'll try to use it. Will you be sorry? All right, you should understand today, that we have, in actuality, achieved this thing called a theta clear. We're not going to very much differentiate between a mess clear and a theta clear and get all sorts of hierarchies and aristocracies of clears going. Clears are clear, but some are clearer than others. The clear is simply somebody who isn't bothered with engrams. That's the simplest definition. They don't key in, and he doesn't do a psychology stimulus response every time the associations march by. That's about it. So you shouldn't be too confused about it and say, well, they weren't really making clears because now they're making this better clear. Well, we've always had this division of messed clear, theta clear, and OT. That's been with us for a very, very long time. And we've actually achieved a theta clear, and that is what I would like to announce to you at this Congress. Thank you for the applause. That's better. I gotta collect some pay somehow. Now, as an individual goes on up the line, he finds out that it's clear, the way we were making them in the 1920th ACC and so on, is the bottom rung of the ladder. Below that, there's the thing you call a release. That's somebody who can think without getting kicked in the teeth. And hardly anybody in the society is up to a release. That's about the only grade below clear, and it's just aberee from there on down. Now, how bad it can get is pretty bad, as you've noticed. That is, if your obnosis is up, you've noticed it. But the point is that most clears will tell you at once that they now know that they are on the bottom rung of the ladder. They're at least on the ladder, and that's normally what they say to you. You say, well, I'm on the ladder now. And that's all. It's an awfully high, long ladder, but I'm at least on the ladder. Well, that's quite remarkable for a person to go up from aberee, this 8 or 9 Russian rocket light years, you know, to get to this state. And then he's in this state, and then, wow, he finds out he's on the bottom of the ladder. But listen, that's something to know, ladies and gentlemen. These people go around, they say, all right, I'm all right. I'm all right. They also know that they're not going to cave in precipitately, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to get worse every time the weather changes, you know. They have a much greater stability. Now, if you realize that an individual does influence the environment in its actions against him, that he could influence the environment in actions for him, right? And we're now somewhere between clear and OT. We're in that span there. Influence the environment in his favor. It's enough, by the way, to settle up, by the way, this afternoon I'll be talking to you about 3 things. The second lecture here is going to be about overt-act motivator sequences and human relations. And its subtitle is How to Solve a Marriage. And the third lecture, since we've already done with the future of Scientology, I gave that to you at the beginning so you wouldn't have anything to look forward to. I'm going to give you a lecture on leadership. Interesting thing. It's more a non-commissioned officer subject than one for Scientologists, but having solved it, I might as well let you in on it. Nobody ever solved it before, evidently. If you don't believe it, look around. Now, we have had a lot of talk, and there are publications on how to make a standard clear. There's a ACC clear procedure, and that is very good, and I recommend it to you. The techniques of making a clear are being now taught in the HCS course. And it is just the 20th ACC. That is all that is taught by people who did well in the 20th ACC and so forth. It's a very good course. Now, how about this next grade by running engrams? Now, what do you do in the first place? All right, now let's get down to brass tacks here. What do you do? First place, you get somebody in a condition so that you'll run. Now, how do you do that? You solve the overt act motivator sequence. Bing. If he's in a grouper, you do a track scout, and with great pains and in the ability you were issued at this Congress is ARC break straight wire, and ARC break straight wire straightens out his track. Might take a long time, but it straightens out his track. Doesn't matter how black a man is, if you can hold him down and sit on his head long enough to do a total track scout on the individual and get him to sort out and pin down on the track every engram he comes up with in terms of time. He comes up with an engram, you ask him where it is, you locate it for him on the e-meter with his cooperation, you nail it on the time track. It goes out of re-stimulation just as fast as he nails them, which is quite remarkable. Now, this which you've been given in the ability issued at the Success Congress is an HCO bulletin. This ARC break straight wire is not something that you tamper with and will run on anyone, but is particularly adaptable to the luckless fellow who is in the middle of a whole bundle of engrams. He's in a grouper or an old whole track implant or something of that nature. You just disentangle the whole thing with e-meters and asking just that one question, and don't Q&A with his origins. What you have to know to run that, as it's given, is the command, recall an ARC break. Now, all right, he's a Scientologist that you're running this on. What would you do rather than recall an ARC break? Would you educate him into what the command is, or what? Well, actually, you could run the overt act motivator sequence process a little less effectually. But ARC break is a new thing in the language. And it's a package command, and it's rather lengthy if you put down everything ARC break means. It's just the shorthand for a sudden drop in affinity, reality, and communication, which is painful. It's just a sudden shock, you might say, of interrupted affinity, reality, and communication. You find most people can understand this, and most people can run it, oddly enough. But recall an ARC break is the auditing command, and you must remember that every time he originates, you do TR4 and nothing else. Nothing else. He says, whoa. He says, well, gee, here I am. Oh, my God. Gee, I never knew I'd been a Chinese. Of course, except for the fact that I have long fingernails and I'm very polite and just love rice. And I'd never had a clue. One guy in the 5th London ACC said, this can't possibly be an engram because I've had all of these symptoms all my life. This life. So this guy, this PC says to you, he says, I didn't learn I was Chinese, and here I am. And they have kind of a method of putting people out of the way with bowstrings. And I seem to be walking down here, and I think somebody's on trial. Somebody's on trial here, and I don't know who it is, but so forth. I think I'm the judge. Yes, I think I'm the... No. I'm the executioner. No. I'm not the executioner. I wonder, I'm probably the victim's wife or something of the sort. Let's see now. Oh, what are they doing walking up to me with this bowstring? That's a great temptation at that moment to say, and what do they do with the bowstring? You understand, that's an almost overwhelming temptation. An auditor who has to some degree been movie-oriented always wants to know what happens in the next sequence. But if you ask him, you throw him into the engram. And it's not that you can't fish him out again, but you should realize the error of your ways. There's a rule in engram running called the rule of the last largest object. The way you get the person back into the engram after he's escaped from it is get him to describe the last largest object he named while running it. And he goes right back into the engram. None of this Quicksilver stuff these days. Rule of the last largest object. Well, there's also the rule of the next sequence, which you use all the time in running engrams. And what happened then? Now what's happening, the old Dianeticist would say, and for present Scientologists say. Now what is happening? See? And he'd move ahead in the engram. Now all the engram is the best sort of a, you could get the idea of a three-dimensional stage play which was going on, which the PC hoped was a stage play and wasn't real. Suddenly becoming real life, you've got just about what it is running through an engram. So that as you move the person, it's the auditor who moves the person forward and back in the position of the engram. And if you ask the individual to describe more to you, and describe more and more and more to you, and describe more and more and more to you, you all of a sudden go, boom, and he's right in the engram, and he's no longer running ARC break straight. You'll be saying to yourself right about that time, my God, what did Ron say at the Congress? Let's see. What'd he say? I know there was a command. Yes, it's recall an ARC break. You get him to describe a large object, particularly. You get him to tell you what happened then. And you're running engrams. So this is a very, very neat division. Now, with a person who, with a grouped track, a dark field, he can't run on the time track, he doesn't have pictures, ARC break, straight wire, runs very smoothly, but it makes him nervous. And the ARC breaks with you very easily. So you have to do a very neat job. Now, he goes right on back down the track with us, and he runs whole lives. And this is a process which restores in full recall to the individual the last few thousand years. You know, where was I in 1310? Let me see, July 10th. You know how we got into this, by the way. You know, I was beginning to say, I've got a bad case of amnesia. I'd sit and think, you know, something's wrong with my mind, I'd keep saying, you know. I can't remember where I was in 1310 at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Thursday. It's totally occluded. I don't know if her name was Isabel. Oh, that's beside the point. I was feeling a close-in and close-out of memory over a large span of time. Well, I understand that nearly everybody has it totally closed out and considers it natural. Well, boy, this is just about as natural as... what's your hometown? Think of it, no? Did you remember this? Well, where did you live in the first century A.D.? What's your hometown? Come on, come on, come on. Oh, you don't remember it with clarity. Huh. You're crazy. Now, ARC break straight wire puts the track back together again. And you take as much as the fellow tells you, and you understand what he's told you. And then you acknowledge it. And that's all you do. You're walking on the very, very, very thin edge of a very, very deep precipice. It's quite remarkable. I mean, it's... Wow, don't go off the edge of that thing. PC says gratuitously, well, what do you know? I didn't know that. It's all right for you to say, what? Well, I didn't know. I didn't know that centurions were corporals. You say, well, good. Do you know it now? Yes, yes, know it now. You say, thank you. Now, ARC breaks straight wire, cycles just like any other straight wire, and he goes way back down the track, unimaginably far, much further than you've ever seen a PC go on ARC straight wire. They go way back down the track, and they come back up to present time. They go way back down the track and up to present time. Question after question after question. Question after question, they go further and further and further and further and further and further and further into the past. And then pretty soon, why, they sort of stick there for a little while, sometimes as much as an hour, hit an engram. Then they start pretty soon. And then they come up. Then they don't come all the way to present time. They start back again. See? Then they come on up, 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 up. About all you want to know is when. Now, this when you give the most liberal possible treatment. You say, recall an ARC break. And he says, mm-hmm. You say, when? If you want to check on the track run. And if he seems to be having any trouble at all. You know, he seems to be stuck here someplace. You say, when? You say, when was that? And he says, oh, I don't know. It seems to be right now. Oh, get out of there. Seems to be right now. Oh, that's... You're all set. I'll clue you. In the next three commands, if you were running engrams, you could have him totally into the other determinism, squirming on the floor and screaming like a banshee, you understand? You don't want that. This guy's track needs straightening out. His memory needs restoring. You say, when? When do you think? You're sitting there with an E-meter in your hand. I don't know, he says. Well, now, don't keep pestering him. Say, well, was it more than 500 years ago? Less than 500 years ago. More than 1,000 years ago? Less than 1,000 years ago. You keep getting more, you know. More than 2,000 years ago? Less than 2,000 years ago? Less than 2,000 years ago. Oh, good. More than 1,800 years ago? Less than 1,800 years ago. Oh, more than 1,800 years. That's good. Was it more than 1,900 years ago or less than 1,900 years ago? Oh, a little more than 1,900. Was it 1,910 years ago? All right, more than 1,910? Less than 1,900? 1,908? More than 1,908? Less than 1,908? 1,909? Your needle has dipped the most. All right, you got it nailed. A needle as it dips says yes. That's all you got to know about an E-meter. When the needle dips, it says yes. And when the further it dips, the more it says yes. Anybody can run an E-meter. All right. And he says, oh, yes. He said, yes, yes, yes. About then. about then, yes. He says, let's see. Now, let's see. Let's calculate the date from the birth of Christ. Of course, we weren't using it then, you know. And so on, and all of a sudden, this thing starts to slip into its place on the time track and goes out of re-stimulation. If you do a good job of it. Now, if you want to be real ordinary, you can nail it down to the month, the week, the day, the hour of the day, and the minute of the hour. Any meter will do that for you. I don't care how many thousand years ago it was. Now, as you run all this back, he comes up to PT and back into the past and up into PT. All you're doing is nailing when. You're putting track together, and he's recalling an ARC break. He's recalling an ARC break, but you're nailing time. Got the idea? And as you get the ARC breaks off, his understanding expands, consequently his memory. Now, pictures are actually in the road of memory, and they're no real assist to memory at all. Pictures are in the road of memory. I think people have pictures so they'll forget. There's no reason why you have to have a picture to remember that you were executed. Generally, you should be able to know these slight facts about yourself. You don't need notches in a pistol to tell you how many men you've killed, or notches in a lipstick. And the individual's track snaps back together again, and what you will locate as a grouper is normally a whole track implant, and the character of implant given to people here on Earth is a very simple one. It was given in the between lives area, and it was going, I know by personal experience, as late as 1125 A.D. This type of whole track is usually the basis of these groupers, and it's a very simple basis. All it has to do is they got a fellow and they clobbered him with a big electronic flow, and they showed him pictures in the live electricity of the flow. We could teach psychiatrists to do this. They'd be the happiest men on earth. You make a whole sequence of pictures. A lifetime of pictures are thrown at the individual while he's under heavy stress and pressure, just as fast as this. Each z being a death or an adventure. And right back of it, an idea machine is going, a voice, you might say, and it says this was 3 trillion years ago, and this was 18 trillion years ago, and this was 99 trillion years ago, and this was 200 trillion years ago, and this was 300 trillion years ago, and that is what you did then, and this is what you did that, and there's nothing you can do about it, is there? And in just the space of minutes, they pour in a whole track. And it's timed in terms of years ago, and gives you erroneous readings on your e-meter all the time. And this, as a whole implant, you see, just in a split second, the victim sees a death, himself exteriorizing, sees an adventure of some kind or another. It all still picture. It doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. And there's the next one right on top of it. And he starts to disentangle these things when you're running ARC break straight wire. And you don't have to help him out. They just disentangle. And all of a sudden, after, I don't know, maybe it takes a lot of hours of ARC break straight wire. Lots of hours. You get him, and there he is lying on a bed being implanted. He says, boy, I know where I am now, and I know what's happening. I've got a clue what's happening. Then all of a sudden, thunk, he is on the bed he was implanted on, getting a picture of being implanted on a bed. Boy, this is the most bottled up mess you ever saw. And your e-meter starts registering on trillions of years, hundreds of trillions of years, and starts plotting all of these things up. And after a while, you'll say, well, he's just running this plot of an implant. People being awfully quiet here, I don't mean to re-stimulate you. Always had a guilty conscience about doing it. But that drops better for you to know about it than to hide from it. It drops on the implant. Here's the idea. The implant time is dominant on the case before you get down to the guy's actual track. And these are just implanted engrams, and they're just implanted. A lot of old Dianetics and so forth have seen one of these things. Didn't quite know what to do about it, totally, but they've seen one of these things in action. But there'll just be incident after incident. It's going through just like this. There'll be deaths and adventures and crashes and shipwrecks. And what you have done, oh boy, is that in there heavy. They show you all your crimes. Of course, you never committed any of these crimes. You've committed plenty of crimes, but you didn't commit these. So as the individual sorts this out, he gets all sorts of impressions. Is it real or is it false? After a while, after he's run into an implant, something like that, he has the idea that anything he sees is false. And he sees himself as a young boy, or she sees herself as a young girl, in this lifetime, you see, going to school, and she wonders if that isn't an implant, too. Of course, it was. Anyhow, what was really amazing, one thing just in passing, talking about this, what was amazing, that in the between lives area, which was, by the way, it's incredible. The whole thing is incredible. Nobody asks you to believe this. Just experience it if you're new at this business. As you get this thing straightened out, you'll see why people cling so arduously to just having lived once. Because, boy, when they start slipping into living a couple of times, they're liable to tip over into one of these implants or something of the sort, and they say, well, AR-C brake straight wire goes right straight through one of these things. And the individual starts to remember what it's all about. These implants drop off, by the way, without being run. They straighten out. Oh, it takes hours and hours to straighten one out. Lots of time. And they strip off, and finally the guy gets into the center incident and drops out of the center incident into the actual point where he's implanted, and you find out that maybe it wasn't more than 500, 600, 800 years ago. See? He's been talking about trillions of years and so forth. Now you can go back and find out what was trillions of years. See? You get the track straight. There isn't any reason why you can't remember what you were doing 100 B.C. or 100 A.D. or in 1065 and exactly how many horses you lost at the Battle of Hastings. There's no reason why you can't remember these things. Except that you've been carefully occluded along the line, and normal agreement in the society at this time says very distinctly that man lives only once, and when he dies, a few decades ago even, they were saying, well, when he dies, he goes to a place called heaven. I bet there are a lot of Thetans running around right now trying to find him. It's rather pitiful, if you come to think about it. They can find hell dead easy. There are plenty of volcanoes. Thetan goes and jumps in the volcano and stays there for a few years and says, now I've been to hell, you know. He can do that, but heaven he can't find. Kind of a dirty trick. Actually, most implants and so forth have been pulled on the whole track have as their motto, get lost, fella, get lost. Get lost in time, get lost in place, so on. Well, now this takes care of any case that you can get to sit still, or it takes care of a case that you have improved up the line with CCHs and control processes. You know, HCA, HPA stuff. You improve this case up the line to a point where he could sit still long enough to have his track disentangled. Get the idea? Well, that done, running an engram then on the worst occluded, most unreal case you ever had anything to do with is a lead pipe cinch. It's cinch. He'll find some place, this roughest case, he will find some place on the track where it's all 3D and he is there in his own valence. Now, where a person who knew how to run engrams would jump off would be that point. They'd know where that point was, and they would run that engram. And it'd be a beauty. Be there with total reality and all the rest of it. All right, now let's take an individual who is more or less an average case. This was the toughest case I was talking about, in this average case. And you simply take an E-meter and you find the n-gram necessary to resolve the case, just like that. And you find it, and you don't necessarily go back billions of years or anything like that. You normally find it in the last couple of centuries. Last few centuries, and you find what drops the most. And you say, now, what's going on there? Well, there seems to be this great big tree, rule of the last largest object. Describe that tree to me, you're saying. Well, he says it's pretty unreal, but it's a great big tree. Big tree. Powerful big tree. It's huge. Huge. It seems to be one limb missing. You say, well, which limb is it? Well, it's the one that goes out there. It's got a... Well, the tree is very huge. You say, what'd you say it had on it? Well, it's kind of a big tree. Standing in a meadow. Here I am way outside the whole scene. You say, all right, go back to the beginning of the incident. Tell me what happened. You've come to the end of the incident, the exteriorization of it. Well, I don't know. I seem to be sitting here in a saddle. Hands seem... Can't get my hands apart. Well, you keep his attention on anything he puts his attention on. That's the whole trick. And if you just did that, you'd probably run the whole n-gram. Keep his attention on anything he's got his attention on. And an n-gram will move right straight through forward, just like a stage play. When it gets to the end, it'll come back to the beginning and move straight on forward. You don't have to tell a person to do it. In the average case, he'll just run it through and run it through and run it through. The only trouble is there are many things in an n-gram. And after you've gotten the worst kick off one, there's always a worse one. This individual's gotten to the point where you said, now, all right, now you say you're looking at the tree. Now, how big does the tree seem? Oh, it's an awful big tree. It's got this limb, and there's ropes hanging over the limb. I see now, yeah, it's got hangman. Oop! Well, I must be the sheriff here. Yeah, I've gone out and got these horse thieves and then brought them in, going to hang them and so on, and I hang them. That's all there is to it. We ought to find something important on the case. He slipped out of the n-gram, so used the rule of the last largest object. What was the last largest object he described to you, really, or saw? Horse or a sheriff or anything else he mentioned? We're getting back into the incident. But he has to mention it. Now, the main difficulty you have in running an n-gram is that auditors love to write script. And we call them script writers. They love to write script. And so you'll get a condition of this character. This individual says, well, I'm on a farm. Here, I'm on a farm. Yep. And, wait a minute, I'm on a spaceship. Yeah, well, I was on a farm, on a spaceship. Yeah, here I am being thrown out the airlock. Yeah, they threw me out the airlock, got rid of me. And the auditor says, now I know what happened here. Well, he does. He doesn't know what happened until the PC tells him. Because the reason an n-gram is an n-gram, and the reason it's so tangled, is because it's non-computable. It doesn't make sense. And when you write a sensible script for one as the auditor, you don't ask the PC to really get into it and roll it. You don't. because you're making continual errors in writing script. Now, the auditor in this particular case says, oh, I get it. He was a farm boy, and he got kidnapped, Shanghai, in a press gang, and they put him on this spaceship. And there he was on the spaceship for a while, and he probably had a battle or something of the sort, and they kicked him out after he was dead and so forth. Now we've got this straight. So he says, all right, now go to your life as a farm boy. ARC break number one. Farm boy, the PC says. What do you mean, farm boy? Well, you said you're on a farm. See, here's the writer writing script, you know. Had nothing to do with running engrams. An engram is what it is. What happened is what happened. Not what the auditor figured out. The guy says, I wasn't a farm boy. It was a raid. We were a landing party from a spaceship, and we shot up the farm. Oh. Well, all right. Well, go to the battle then. Go to the battle. Go to the battle. What battle? The battle you talked about a minute ago. I didn't talk about a battle a minute ago. ARC break two. Every time you get an ARC break, you bury one of these things deeper. They're harder to get to. Well, an auditor's smart say, well, what did happen on the spaceship? Well, we mutinied and I murdered the captain. Oh? What else happened? Well, I don't know. The crew did something or other to me and threw me out the spaceport. Nothing to it. Well, glad to be rid of that one. And the auditor says, well, I guess that's all there is to it. Simple incident. And you know, an auditor going on his own presupposition of what the thing is all about can go over it and over it and over it. And the PC goes, zzz. What's he missing? It's what the crew did to him. What did the crew do to him with a dull knife? Now, this becomes a very fascinating thing, that to run an engram, you have to find out about the engram from the preclear, not from your own bank. Nearly everybody has a logic machine. Everybody's logical, tremendously logical. And they fill in the gaps with logic. And that's one thing an engram isn't, is logical. An engram is never logical. I gave you an example. Girl, trapeze artist, playing over a street in France, 1872. She drops from the top of the trapeze, supposed to grab a rope going by, doesn't grab the rope, goes down and hits the pavement, and a lion takes off the top of her head. You say, what? What? See? All right. Let's go to the beginning of this incident. Here we go. And no lion. You say, well, it was a jam and a grouper, and the lion incident, she injured her head in the fall, and so the lion incident was locked in on top of that, and it's now gone. About the 10th run of the thing. And after I hit, this lion that was a friend of mine, secondary grief charge, she fell off the trapeze into the lion's arena. And it wasn't enough to get knocked off with a fall of about 40 feet. This lion, with the smell of blood in his nostrils, comes up and knocks the top of her head off. And it's very hard to get out of a head, the top of which has been knocked off of. Not only that, but this was the tough part of the incident, One of the tough parts was finally had to admit that she committed suicide. No good trapeze artist simply misses a rope. She committed suicide. This got very, very long and involved after a while. But why the lights kept going on and off in the incident was, as the lion walked up to knock off the top of her head, she got in outside and not is the lion. And he not is right on down to no lion, except the tip of his tail. And here's a silly picture of a tip of a lion's tail. She finds out that doesn't work, so she moves over sideways, gets into the head of the lion, and tries to find his motor controls to make him back up. Doesn't win at that. Goes back into her own head, exteriorizes properly, and leaves. That's why the exteriorization wouldn't run on the incident. She did exteriorize. And then the postulate on it was very cute, of course. Nice postulate. It is better to stay and have a little something than to leave and have nothing at all. And this was the active postulate of this person's life in the current lifetime. The active postulate. Person never could leave anything. It could just be clawing her to pieces and she'd just stay there. Better to stay and have a little something than to leave and have nothing at all. Wonderful. Now there's an engram. The engrams don't compute. They don't add up, ever. And it's because they don't add up, the illogic of the sequence. Like in this lifetime, a fellow goes down to the Pentagon building to be the head of the army, and at that moment he finds himself in a missile headed for Mars. You'd say, he's got old space opera hooked up on top of the Pentagon. Now he was inside the rocket inspecting the lines, and they didn't notice he was there when they blasted off. That's all. Careful. Get the idea? Only when he starts to run this as an incident, he can't understand how the army would order him to Mars with no oxygen. And this is what he'd first be telling you. I must have received orders to go to Mars. I just don't make it out. That's so true. Well, that's trouble with engrams. They're so illogical. And the engram necessary to resolve the case is always non-computational. Always. It just doesn't make sense. That's why it's so stuck. There's nothing you can do about it. You can't even figure it out. And you run it and run it and run it. Pretty soon the guy figures it out. Only he never figured it out when it happened. It's just been there, and he's never figured it out since. You see? What was he doing married to King Louis? Sort of the way it hits him, you know? It just doesn't make sense. Has no recall of ever having been a woman, so forth. Well, just as the battle was engaged, the queen's wife rode up to the standard, and he was so startled to see Her Majesty standing up by the king's standard in the middle of a battle that he raised his silly head, and it was taken off with a cannonball, and he goes ricochet. Himself, like a cannonball. He's in the wrong person, wrong time, wrong identity, and it doesn't make sense. What is he doing standing on top of a hill, surveying a battle, as the queen? Because the queen never comes to the battle, and he'll give you a whole kind of a sequence of being the queen. And he can't figure it out what he did or why, but it again doesn't make sense. Then all of a sudden he says, oh, well, I wasn't the queen, I was the king. That's how we get so many kings. We finally find him in his proper place, which was a subaltern of the lowest subalternness. And the real confusion of the incident was he had just bought his commission. It had just bankrupted his family to get him a commission in the army. He just bought all of his new uniforms. And somebody owed him 5,000 florins, which he had won playing loo. He was going to marry an heiress the very next week. And he lifts his silly head and gets it taken off with a cannonball. Get the idea? It's just all stack up. But this is not confrontable. This much penalty is just not confrontable. So it's much better to be the queen, you know? As a matter of fact, as he was killed, he did yo-yo into the queen's head on his way out. Get the idea? His computation at that moment is, well, Men don't kill women. Safest person to be is a woman. Nearest woman is her. There I am. Get the idea? Now, the funny part of it is, I don't think there's a modern current life engram worth running. I don't. They won't solve cases. That's why I'm so brashly and open-facedly talking to you about past lives. You haven't got a prayer if you try to run something out of this life. You just haven't got a prayer. You can monkey and monkey and monkey and monkey with it. Have you died severely in this life? Well, if you haven't died severely in this life, I can guarantee that a death is worse than the life you're living. Ergo, it'll be a past death that you normally find as the engram. Non-computational past death that's all mixed up. Now, the auditing commands used to run an engram as you coke the individual through are very simple. What part of that incident can you confront? Having agreed what incident it is, the PC keeps getting foggy on it. Why describe the incident? What part of that 1,500-year-ago incident can you confront? That is not as good as what part of that incident you confront, because pretty well he's pretty well in a hurry. When you've got that flat up to the point where the individual knows that it's somewhere else than right where he is, you've got it fairly flat, so he's fairly comfortable in it, you run what part of that incident could you be responsible for? That is the next command that is run on the individual. And when you've got all of that flat, that incident's totally flat with that command now. By the way, I've heard that the responsible occasionally has to be run before the confront, which is quite interesting. I don't know. I haven't had that experience, but I just throw it in here as caution. The way they have been running is confront and then responsible. And then what part of that incident, this is the third command that you flatten on the same incident while rolling it through, what part of that incident could you confront? And a second question uttered before you acknowledge, he says, I could confront the guard's helmet. You say, and for how long? It's a double question. What part of that incident could you confront? For how long? And then what part of that incident could you be responsible for? And for how long? And that takes care of all the time factors in the incident. And these are very gummy. They're very, very hard to run sometimes. But what part of that incident could you confront? What part of that incident could you be responsible for? What part of that incident could you confront and for how long? What part of that incident could be responsible for and for how long? Pretty well cleans up an engram. And those are the commands they run on. But if you run any of those commands on an engram, you're going to have to finish the engram because they don't destimulate. They don't destimulate. Make sure you've got the engram necessary to resolve the case. The requisites of that are everything is three-dimensional. The PC is in valence and he knows about where he is. He's got some clue of what's going on. Get him into it. Run it through. Don't chicken. That's primary requisite. And you've got yourself an engram run on the case. Take you from 50 to 75 hours. Add to that maybe 50 to 75 hours for a thorough track scout on a very occluded case, and add to that maybe 25, 30, 40 hours to run 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 more engrams, including the rock. You've got it clear, and it about adds up to that. Don't think it's this simple. I give it to you. It's more simple. It's not as simple as it sounds. The rule of the last largest object is necessary to know, guiding the PC's attention through it, making the individual aware of the reality of it. Various things of this character all have tricks connected to them one way or the other. Individual flies too far out. Well, you can say what's the most unimportant part of the incident? Something else unimportant about the incident. Something else unimportant about the incident. Something else, wham, he's right back into it again. Well, there's quite a bit to know about it. It takes quite a bit of skill. Mainly, it takes tremendously smooth auditing because these things are beefy. If the individual's being beheaded, believe me, he's being beheaded with an exclamation point. And there's no fooling. He's being beheaded. That axe goes straight on through, man. And if he's hanging somebody, why, their tears are splashing all over his face, you know? I mean, it's real running an engram this way. Individuals can stand up to it. I have had a fellow say, young man fell off a horse, and a couple of local yokels came along, and they took a red-hot iron and put it up against his ear to cauterize it. Except they just, he tore his ear falling off the horse, you see. Except instead of cauterizing, they just pushed the red-hot iron right straight on into his head. And he says, I know, he says, if I ever got into that part of the engram, it'd just kill me. I know that would kill me, that'd finish me, I wouldn't be able to get near it. His auditor couldn't push him near it. Finally, an ACC instructor says, go to the incident of the most intense pain, bang. And while holding his head in her lap, with his auditor holding his feet, what part of that incident can you confront? Finish the thing off, and he did live through it. So you too can live through an engram. But if you have any allergy to incidents, or incidents upset you in any way, shape, or form, why, you run much simpler processes. Thank you.